I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Guys, I am so excited because this week I found out how to set up a soundboard on our podcast.
Oh, nice.
And
I thought that was actually a soundboard sound.
It's so good.
Me doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Is that Windows?
Yeah. The Windows XP error.
Dude, how cool is Windows XP?
So we're going to be, cool. We got this one here. FBI, open up. You know what I'm saying? So anyway.
I do know what you're saying.
Who shut down?
That's a throwback.
So I'm going to be having fun with this while we play around today. In the meantime, I would love to talk to you guys about something that I thought was kind of interesting. There is a song on YouTube that is 7 years old, and it's by a guy who has about 70 band names. And he has 73 albums and a bunch of band names.
What? I don't understand.
Anyway, it's a band with a bunch of band names, all different names.
Okay.
Tons of music.
Always the same people, always a different band
always
name.
Always the guys, same guys, one dude.
King Gizzard?
This is one of his songs.
Out of my bum, it don't look tasty to me, but flies say yum yum yum. When I'm constipated, the poop just won't come. My day isn't complete until I pooped at least some.
So this is from the Toilet Bowl Cleaners, the white album with brown and yellow stains. And so here's the funny thing. The reason why I brought this up is I was watching some Cody Co today, and big fan. And he was talking about how all a kid has to do is go up to their Alexa and say, "Alexa, play the poop song," and this point.
Really? Yeah. I haven't watched Cody Co in months.
I've been watching him do recaps of MILF Manor, and it.
Is MILF Manor on a show?
It's really sad.
Yeah, dude. And I've been watching him do reaction videos to The Button, and it's amazing.
What's The Button?
The Button is a dating show where two people sit at a table and the button talks to them. It's like an AI button that talks to them. And if when the button goes red, if the person taps the button, the date's over. And so they're like, and then, you know, like if the date's over, the person gets up. Another person in like the green room comes in and sits down. They do. It's like speed dating. It's super cringe.
I saw a really funny video on Instagram about it.
That's all I had about the poop song. I really just wanted to use it to play it on the show.
Oh wait, there's no legit. There's no.
No. That's it.
No relationship to like health.
Other than
or...
this. Guys, the podcast.
Just got an upgrade.
Jer, how do you
just got an upgrade, baby?
How do you explain to Kira your
what
job?
I do for a living?
Yeah, like when you're sitting around in the middle of the day, like prepping for Feel Good Friday, and you're just jamming.
Man,
to
I don't
song.
Know. I don't know. Her mom texted me yesterday about how she really loved the episode with Julia. So
yeah,
I guess that gives me credit.
It does.
I got her
for
mom
sure.
texting me, being like, "Love the show."
I mean, the show really does traverse a spectrum.
Like, it does
throughout the week.
It's a wide spectrum.
Like the thing that's different between like Maddie and I at home is like because I'm not doing the work to prepare Feel Good Friday.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
That's
hear
what I'm doing,
this, right?
Yeah.
Like she doesn't hear the poop song.
The last time I tried to explain to Kira what my job was, I was like, she was like, "So what? Like, what do you do?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I just like I prep these episodes, and as I started talking, this started playing, and I I really just, you know. So here's interesting news. Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea.
Is gone? I mean, I guess it is cured already.
No.
It's not cured from getting, you're not cured from getting it though.
Unfortunately, no. Gonorrhea is having an error. It's becoming unstoppable. Highly resistant cases found in the U.S.
Oh my God. No. This is, okay, I'll save it, but I'll save it.
Yeah, so I ChatGPT'd this. This is what we got. Gonorrhea is on the rise and becoming an unstoppable force. Highly resistant cases were found in Massachusetts. These cases were the first time that U.S. isolates the gonorrhea-causing bacterium Neisseria gonorrhoeae. G-O-N-O-O-R-R-H-O-E-A-E.
Dude, you gonorrhea. Don't say. You don't say. Diarrhea.
Gonorrhea.
I think you just said a bunch of letters.
How would you pronounce this word here?
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
No, because that's how you. That's
not how it's spelled. No. There's
gonorrhea.
No,
it's the same gonorrhea. It's the same as
gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Okay. So they found it in Neisseria gonorrhea. Which has shown complete resistance or reduced susceptibility to all drugs that are recommended for treatment. This is a major concern, as it means that if left untreated, it could lead to a more severe health issue and even infertility. Fortunately, both cases were successfully cured with potent injections of the antibiotic ceftriaxone, despite the bacterial isolates demonstrating reduced susceptibility to the drug. Ceftriaxone is currently the frontline recommended treatment for the sexually transmitted infection, but health officials have said that cases are a warning. N. gonorrhea is becoming less responsive to a limited arsenal of antibiotics, they said, and this is not a trend as for years, global surveillance data collected by the WHO, who have shown that gonorrhea is becoming more and more resistant to our entire lineup of drugs, including the frontline drugs like ceftriaxone.
Have either of you guys had gonorrhea?
I've never had an STI.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
Neither have I. Wow.
Guys, well done.
We're statistically... Good
job, yeah. I just went through my slut phase.
We're like statistically... statistically statistical anomaly, yeah.
We probably have HPV.
Probably, yeah. I mean, isn't it 2 out of 3 people have HPV?
I think it's something higher than that.
Is N dot gonorrhea, does that stand for a novel gonorrhea?
No, so that is the, that's the word I said earlier, which is Neisseria.
Okay.
Gonorrhea.
Okay. It's interesting though, because like what I took away from that is that basically
novel gonorrhea virus.
Well, then
more than 42 million Americans currently live with HPV.
Crazy.
That's a lot.
I wonder what percentage of sexually active Americans
that's
that
not
is.
2 and 3, but
no, it's not. But I mean,
it's like I guess you'd have to be sexually active to get it, wouldn't you?
Right. But it depends how many sexually active people.
Yeah, I suppose you're
that would be. But it's interesting because like what I took away from that article is that basically gonorrhea is mutated to be stronger. And therefore, you have to give now a heroic dose of the drug that used to be like, hey, you take this drug and it makes you better. But then now they had to like jack up that dosage,
which is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? The doses have to be like,
surprise, motherfucker.
and they ain't. This is a major concern as the number of cases of gonorrhea is high worldwide and is on the rise in the U.S. In 2020, WHO estimated that there were 82.4 million new cases of gonorrhea worldwide. In the U.S., there were nearly 700,000 cases in 2021, up more than 25% from 2017. According to preliminary estimates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in many people, gonorrhea has no symptoms. In others, it's so mild, it may be mistaken as a minor bladder infection or yeast infection. Over time, however, it can lead to pelvic inflammatory disease, severe pain, and fertility problems. That's a big whoopsie. Health officials stress the need for screening and surveillance to treat infections early before they become severe and have had a chance to spread. For the 2 Massachusetts cases, health officials are now working on contact tracing. Without a clear link between the 2 cases, officials say it's unclear if the 2 cases are connected or if the highly drug-resistant strain is circulating in the community. In conclusion, it's important to be aware of the signs and symptoms of gonorrhea and to get tested if you suspect you have it. It's also important to practice safe sex and get tested regularly if you are sexually active. With the rise of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea, it's crucial that we take the necessary measures to control the spread of the disease to help develop new treatment and to develop new treatments.
So you got to get tested.
Yeah, and for guys out there, for people with penises out there, you no longer have to get the swab. You just have to pee in a cup.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That's right.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Is that recent?
I mean, as recent as like I started getting tested pretty regularly, like once a month, in like around 2015,
mm-hmm.
and at that point it was just peeing in a cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been tested for a while because I mean I just have the same partner. But is there any reason to test if you're sexually active with the same person for, you know, years?
No.
Like, there's no reason.
I mean, I don't know. I should say this is not a medical podcast and do not take what we say as medical advice.
I don't know why I asked you fucking guys.
Like, my dad's not getting tested, right? Like, my dad's had the same partner for a number of years. I don't see why you would. But you know what's crazy is Kira works at the Dow Clinic right now, which is the university clinic here in Nova Scotia. And someone came in the other day and got tested and they got a STD and they had been with a long-term partner and they suspected that they had something and they got tested and they had only been with that partner for like 10 years.
Oh no.
So they found out that their partner was cheating on them because they had an STD.
Oh.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart.
And there was another guy that went in and he asked to get tested because his roommate said that she was very sexually active and he was afraid that he could contract something from her because she was so loose. And he was afraid that he would catch it off the toilet seat. And Kira had to be like, that's not how that works. But if you would like to be tested, we can test you.
Whoa, yeah. That's crazy.
Isn't that so interesting?
Yeah, that's really funny.
The Dow Clinic, it's fun to hear her work at the Dow Clinic. Lots of interesting shit. And pyrenoidal cysts, you know what those are?
Yeah, because...
She's packing those?
Yeah, so Adam, my friend Adam,
on
his butt.
We should bleep out his name.
He said he would come on the podcast and talk about it. He's actually applied.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't have to bleep his name out.
Okay, all right.
Bleep, beep.
Yeah, it's bleep.
Bleep. But I did want to say, like, the reason why I brought up that question is because not to be like, I don't need to get tested, right? It's more so the question of like, hey, is there any reason to get tested?
Well, yeah. So for you, you would want to get tested to make sure that Maddie's not cheating on you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because girls are not to be trusted.
Whoa!
That's a Derek comedy.
guys, I have some. I'm trying to find the article here, but New York Times' search function is not the greatest. I wish it would be chronological, and it's not.
Full story.
Unfortunately, I have some bummer news related to resistance.
Oh no.
Drug resistance. It's not necessarily resistance, but I read like half of an article earlier today, which I cannot find now for some reason, on the New York Times about several different like very well regarded research facilities in the UK and in the US that had found that
the Merck's COVID.
Did you read that as well?
I did, yeah.
What is this story? Yeah. Merck's COVID?
Merck is the drug, is the pharmaceutical company. They make one of the the treatment pills that you can take.
Oh yeah.
Like Paxlovid is Pfizer's and I think it's called like Monopolvir or something like that with Merck.
Covirnity.
No, that's
Bloomberg that posted it.
It was Bloomberg that posted that.
I think so.
I think three or four different research facilities that had published research that showed that their drug and possibly also Paxlovid, which is from Pfizer, was causing COVID to mutate.
Oof.
Which is a bummer for COVID treatments.
Yeah.
Which the drug companies, from what I read, and again, I don't want to go too far into this because I didn't read the whole article and everything, so I don't know exactly what the details are.
We'll chat GPT it later.
But they basically, the companies are denying that that's what's happening, but these... independent research facilities are going, well, we're seeing that that's happening.
Yeah. I'll read you the Instagram caption if you want.
Sure. Oh, maybe I saw it on Jerry News, actually.
Merck's COVID-19 pill.
Oh, you touch my tra-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
Go for it, Brad. Go for it, Brad.
I can't do it over that. The pill is giving rise to new mutations of the virus in some patients, according to a study that underscores the risk of trying to intentionally alter the pathogen's genetic code. Some researchers worry the drug may create more contagious or health-threatening variations of COVID, which has killed more than 6.8 million people globally over the past 3 years.
Oh, that's crazy.
Mutations linked to the use of Merck's pill, Lagavrio, have been identified in viral samples taken from dozens of patients.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't. I think this is the same article because it wasn't Merck's drug. It was
COVID.
According to a preprint study from researchers in the U.S. and at Francis Crick Institute, Imperial College London, and UK institutions, the drug-linked mutations of the virus haven't been shown to be more immune evasive or lethal yet, according to the study. Published Friday without peer review on the Medravix website. But their very existence highlights what some scientists say are potential risks in wider use of the drug, which was recently cleared in China. Tap the link in the bio for the full story.
It's crazy. It's crazy because I remember there's something that we mentioned a couple weeks ago. This is a kind of off topic, but I guess this underscores like the importance of being prepared in advance for a pandemic, having like some type of like really, really solid strategy in place beforehand, which is like, you know, like Bill Gates had been sounding the alarm about needing to have like really solid infrastructure for this thing that will inevitably happen.
At the same time, he was buying all the farmland in the United States.
Right. Ooch, yes.
Ooch,
and investing in 5G.
Fuck it all, don't give a shit anymore. Fuck it all, fuck it all. Flip the table, screw
you. We can't even have a serious
conversation anymore. This is the death of sincere conversation on
it,
this podcast.
It is really funny that like it's on so Wednesdays we talk to like professionals and then we go to this. It's fun. It's great.
There's a new male contraceptive that is reducing sperm counts by 45% in male mice.
Is that obviously that's the intended?
I guess so. So a new male contraceptive option that reduces sperm count by 45% in mice has been developed by scientists at the University of Minnesota. Oh, yeah. The drug named EF4177 is a non-hormonal option for men who are currently limited to two forms of contraception, condoms, which can fail, and vasectomy, a permanent form of sterilization. With 70% of men aged 18 to 44 in the U.S. expressing interest in new male contraception options, according to a 2019 survey by the Male Contraceptive Initiative, the development of a new option is highly anticipated. EF4177 selectively targets a protein called cislin-dependent kinase 2, CDK2, which is involved in sperm cell production and tumor development. Ooh. The researchers screened several thousand compounds to identify any that selectively target the binding site of CDK2. Sounds like a radio station. And selected EF4177 for further optimization. After 28 days of exposure in mice, the compound was shown to significantly reduce the sperm count. So I think this is actually what they're trying to go for. Now, my guess is that you take the pill, it reduces your sperm count, but then if you stop taking the pill, it'll jack back up.
That would be the hope, right?
While EF4177...
If it doesn't do that, then it's going to not work.
While it's in its early stage human clinical trials, the team at George Lab emphasized the importance of exploring other drug options to increase the chances of a successful male contraceptive reaching the market. In December 2022, the University of Minnesota was awarded a $6.5 million contract by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Development Human Development Contraceptive Development Program.
I have a question for you guys.
Hold on. The Eunice Kennedy Shriver, National Institute of Child Health and Human Development Contraceptive Development Program.
I wish I had the soundboard right now.
To develop reliable, reversible, affordable, and safe contraceptive drugs. The world is ready for a male contraceptive agent, and we are happy to help make this a reality by working with NICHD. Should have said called it that in the first place.
Okay, wait. So, okay, so hypothetically, you guys, you are in university, mm-hmm. and you're having a one-night stand, mm-hmm. and you are taking this male contraceptive pill, and your partner has consensually told you that it's okay to finish inside of her. What percentage of effectiveness would that contraceptive pill have to have for you to be confident in doing the climax action the
same
inside?
99.9%.
Whatever birth control or is, 90, which I believe is 99.9%.
Or condoms. I mean, condoms, if they don't break, are highly effective. So.
But we're not using a condom in this.
No, I'm saying, how effective would the pill have to be?
As effective as a condom.
So it would have to be 99.9 for you to do that.
I think it's how effective
it'd have to be 99%
is a condom. I think like a condom is
98%.
I think condoms are 98%. 98% effective are condoms.
Okay, dude, so what percentage?
10% is not small. 10% is not a small chance.
98%. That's what I'm going with. Final answer.
But you would, so like if the pill was 97% effective, you would still use a condom and you wouldn't do the pill. Because you wouldn't feel as confident in that.
97? That's a high. That's
I'm going to go 98%.
You're going to say it's 98% for what?
Sorry.
We're not playing Price is Right.
No, it's not. I'm saying, hypothetically, you're going to have a one-night stand.
I said 97, Jared goes, 98.
I'm saying, hypothetically.
$1?
You're going to have a one-night stand. He really wanted to do that. He wanted to do that so bad.
Come on, dude. Let's go. 98%. 98. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. 98%.
Oh, my God. Turn it off, for God's sakes. No, don't get up and go. Don't walk down. Don't walk down. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who is it, Drew Carey?
Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
It's really only Bob Barker.
I had to hit that other button to stop the other one. All right.
Go ahead. Well, anyway.
Go ahead.
If it was consensual and the partner was like really excited about it, I'd like 90%.
Wait, hold on. The excitement of the other person is influencing your decision over like a potential pregnancy?
No, I'm just really trying to reassure the audience, the listeners, that like it's not just my decision. The other person is on board. So like, therefore, 90%.
Yeah.
I'm okay with 90%.
All right.
I don't know, dude.
I feel good. I feel good about those odds.
I mean, they're good odds.
Yeah.
But they're not. The stakes are high.
I just want to say, like, so I oftentimes take the coin toss for my soccer team at our men's rec league games to determine who will get the first kick. I feel confident going into a coin toss that I'm going to win the coin toss for whatever reason. Even though I know the odds are 50%, I, for whatever reason, feel good about it.
I mean, you should feel...
You know what that is, Brian? That's called The Secret.
Yeah,
that is
right?
Called The Secret.
A manifesting. Manifest destiny.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
Here's some good news. This is also ChatGPT
manifestation.
An Arctic blast could kill lots of ticks in Nova Scotia. Get ready for some tick tick.
Boom, headshot!
Some tick, tick, boom, headshot. A bone-chilling Arctic blast hitting Nova Scotia this weekend is about to wreak havoc on the Lyme disease-carrying tick population.
Oh, that's great.
But it doesn't start dancing in the don't start dancing in the streets just yet.
Okay.
The blast won't kill all the ticks, just a lot of them.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what we're going for,
I think. Are the ticks still alive?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, actually, I took Donut to the vet.
How do you think they are still here every summer?
Well, no, no, no.
I think
no,
they
no.
hibernate, dude.
No, no, no. So I took Donut to the vet this summer. I never got Bigby tick treatment before.
Mm-hmm.
And this summer with Donut...
I mean, that
vet,
makes sense because he's got short hair. With Donut, you'd...
Sure, easier to find. Yeah, yeah.
With 100%. Donut, you might never find them.
But, and in the past, too, I was also just never, like, afraid of ticks on my dog. But with Donut, I found a tick on him, and I was like, oh, maybe I should do this.
Wow, how did you see it?
I felt it. I felt it. And then pulled it out. It was a big fat boy.
I've pulled probably 30 ticks off of Rupert.
So when I was at the vet, they had a sheet, and it said ticks now. It gave a calendar year, January to December.
Yeah.
And it showed all of the dates that ticks have been found active in Nova Scotia. And I think it was February was the only date, the only calendar month where they weren't active. And it's because of global warming. The temperature has come down enough that they are still out and active, even, you know. But
it's any day where the temperature at any point during the day is 4 degrees or higher.
Which, I mean, here in Nova Scotia this winter,
every day,
I mean, it's every
day. January was like, it's fucking crazy. Like,
I think we've only had like 4 or 5 days below zero. Probably.
Now tomorrow we're gonna hit -25 or something, which is crazy. And so they're saying that this Arctic blast could kill lots of them. Biologist Vet Lloyd from Mount Allison University Tick Lab warns that the success of the tick massacre depends on the amount of snow cover. If the Arctic air mass swirling on Saturday finds Nova Scotia with very little snow, then all ticks that are out questing, that's code for sucking mammal blood at the tick lab, will be dead meat. Most adult black leg ticks, are also known as deer ticks, are taking a snooze in the leaf litter, waiting for the spring to start their next blood-sucking quest.
Aren't deer ticks the ones that carry a lot of the
bad, Lyme? Bad boys.
But without snow to provide insulation, they're easier targets for Mother Nature's freezer. So
fuck
snow
yeah.
actually protects them.
Do we like, okay, so just out of curiosity.
And just to say, small juveniles are a bit more resilient. They can survive into the low minus 20s.
So that's crazy. Do we like ticks? Like, do we feel
like ticks. We don't like ticks.
I mean that, like, do we feel bad for them that it's like they're all going to die from the freezing cold?
No.
Or are we like, fuck those guys?
I think ticks, as far as I understand, if anybody wants to... Yeah, fucking ticks. Time's running out. If anybody wants to fill me in on how they could be, they're useful or necessary, because I feel like
necessary.
I feel like there's got to be some reason for them. But as far as I know, they're just a net negative.
Yeah.
Like mosquitoes. Mosquitoes don't have I don't think mosquitoes have, I think if mosquitoes, well,
mosquitoes
like...
Mosquitoes aren't
great. If you snap your fingers and every mosquito on the planet goes away. I think that might not matter.
We talked about this.
Is there a Radio Lab episode?
Yeah. If you eliminate mosquitoes,
I mean, I think mostly everything has some purpose, but
if you eliminate mosquitoes, without mosquitoes, thousands of plant species would lose a group of pollinators. Adults dependent on nectar for energy.
Oh, I didn't know they pollinate.
Yeah, so I mean, it's so like we kind of need them.
Yeah, I mean, do we really need them though? Like,
ticks are.
I don't need them.
Yeah, so I know you guys are. I think that you guys are both good human beings, like the type of person that like sees a bug inside and like
I take it outside.
Yeah,
like, and I go, right? Hey,
I don't. I go, fuck this thing, smack.
I put it out into the atmosphere, the harsh atmosphere, the harsh winter atmosphere, and I let it die a slow death.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Because because I feel so bad about doing it myself.
Right.
I go, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to kill you.
Yeah. You wouldn't put something out of its misery because then you would feel bad.
Is that a bug? I did have a really hard time when there was that mouse.
What?
When there was that mouse on the pavement.
No, let's not talk about that.
It was the little guy was.
I put him out of his misery.
The little guy was. He was like. I thought he was dead, and then realized that he wasn't. And then Jer.
I ran him over.
And
Jer
got back into his car and ran over his head.
I mean, it crunched.
It did, but it was like it was. I mean,
I felt the crunch under the tire.
I felt very grateful for you because that was the right. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and I felt very. It made me feel very uneasy.
Yeah,
and I questioned whether I could have done that. And
I've got a bud. I've got a bud that was driving on the 111.
Made me feel sad.
And he pulled over because there was a bunch of cars pulled over and there's a deer on the road. And people were freaking out. This deer was hit.
I remember you
and
told me
this. So my bud gets out of his truck and he walks over and he...
Oh, yes. I have
heard
this story.
And he just slit its throat with a knife that he had in his truck and then took the deer and put it in the back of his truck. And the guy was like, what the fuck are you doing? He was like, I'm taking it. I'm taking it home to eat. And everyone was like, oh, they were all like, oh, fucking what the fuck? Like the deer was like, you know, its legs were broken. It was all fucked up. And my bub was just like, oh, fuck, man, I got to put this thing in its measure. Just...
Also, don't let it just fucking,
I mean, don't let it just.
Well, he's not going to go to waste. I mean, something else. Other stuff is going to come along.
And one of the saddest things I've ever seen on the internet is like the raccoons crossing the street and then one gets hit and then the other raccoon's like, Mom. Standing there like, buddy, I love
I'm so
you.
Sad.
So how cold is it going to get? Well, weather specialist Alistair Alders. Alistair Alders.
I was on a call with Alistair Alders today.
From Saltwire. He says, he says it's going to be very cold. Temperatures are going to expected to hit minus 22.
Alistair's a really nice guy.
To minus 28 across the entire province, with some areas reaching minus 30 or colder in higher elevations, such as Cape Breton, Highlands, or Wentworth Valley. With wind speeds expected to reach 30 to 60 K and faster gusts, the cold won't just kill ticks, but also freeze people's faces off. It's all due to a deep, low, frigid Arctic air over Hudson Bay that's being pushed by a high pressure system in the west over the Atlantic Canadian region. When asked if she wants the cold to kill a lot of ticks, Lloyd simply said, yeah. But she's not worried about wiping out decades of her research, as their eggs are buried deep in the soil and can survive temperatures up to minus 30.
Ew.
So even with a deep chill, the tick population will still be ticking for her gain of function research. In the end, ticks are here to stay, and the best we can do is learn to live with them. That means that tick checks every time you come inside, even in the winter, and year-round flea tick treatment for pets. So if you're brave enough to venture outside this weekend, remember to layer up and don't forget the tick spray.
Oh my God. You know it's really.
You know what I'm saying?
You know
it is really funny. Imagine, that's as funny as you think.
Like when it says, don't forget to check yourself for ticks when you come inside. Like if you were to actually do all of the things that would be good for you to do at all points of the day, wouldn't it be an overwhelming amount of things to do? Like check for ticks, put on sunscreen. Do this thing.
Dude, even when
thing.
I mean,
I know you should
even
do
when
thing,
I do like, all the things that are absolutely necessary, it's an overwhelming amount of things to do.
Right? I feel that way all the time, dude. That's burnout.
Are you guys ready for some twin content?
I will say, I'll never forget taking me to the vet in Morocco before we took him home. And that poor fucker he probably had 50 ticks on him.
And for people who don't know who Tigme is, he's your cousin. And
Before I found Tigme in Morocco,
are you guys ready for some twin content?
Always.
Here's our twin sound.
This is my twin sister. Her name, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck me.
I didn't know what that was going to be.
Did you set up the soundboard beforehand or pre-programmed?
I'm just searching keywords.
When was the last time you saw Austin Powers?
Here's another one.
It's been a while.
That one's just called Hodge Twins Deep Inside. Here's another one.
Wow.
Hey, let's get serious on this.
We should never use this soundboard again.
Dude, this is like making a prank phone call.
All of this is just advice. Do whatever the fuck you want to do.
All right, here we go. This video right here. Oh, wait, sorry.
Oops.
Ronnie and Donnie Gallion have never been apart, not even for a second.
Crazy as this.
They're one body.
Oh, my God, wow.
But very much two human beings.
Locked together face to face. Even the simplest tasks are a challenge.
People who can't see this,
these
two are twins are attached by the belly.
And also the world.
And the groin.
Ronnie is very, very, very happy-go-lucky.
They both have a total of four legs.
Just a serious and hardcore as it
Go
gets.
To YouTube
they're
and watch
total
it.
Opposites. They're one person and one body, but they're total opposites on that.
Internally, they each have their own vital organs, but their anatomy is joined in the urinary and lower digestive tracts.
Where their large intestine comes down into their rectum, it joins together into a single rectum. And then their bladder, they have kind of two separate bladders right next to each other, then come out into a single opening as it exits.
Wow.
Crazy,
Whoa.
Right?
That so is guys, so
How do you think these
wild.
Guys shit?
Well, out of one butthole. But like the thing that would be
no,
annoying
I
is
think
like
they've got two buttholes.
No, so he said it said one butthole on this. And like
poop falls out of my bum. It don't look tasty to me, but flies say yum yum yum. When I'm constipated, the poop just won't come. My day is incomplete.
Dude, are you incapable of stopping that earlier? Like, do you have to? Is it like mandatory that?
Oh fuck! I'm done.
You know it's you know what it is interesting. They do pump poop out of one butthole, but what if one twin eats a bunch of food and the other one doesn't?
Like,
and then,
like what if they did an episode of Hot Ones?
Yeah,
right.
But only one person, only one of them was on Hot Ones.
Yeah,
and then That's the impossible. Other one had.
Well, they would
to,
both be on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they both. What if the other one had a black drape over him?
Yeah, they're both on the show.
So it was just one guy, like one of them was on it eating the wings.
The thing, like, I just can't. What's super wild is when you watch that. And again, I implore you to go to the YouTube to watch that video. But like watching them move around is wild. It's like a giant spider. Like the two dudes walking with four legs, they have to walk sideways like a crab. They like getting out of the pool. That was an incredible video of them getting out of the pool. They looked so uncoordinated, but like they've been on this planet for. I mean, fuck, these two guys were what? They were like probably in their late 40s.
They looked like they were quite old,
older dudes, right? Fucking crazy to think. That
surprised
just, like,
that
going around the world that way
that they can like that they are able to live that long.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming there's lots of complications in terms of like corrective surgeries and things like that. But
I guess like it seems like although it looks like they are very much joined, it seemed like from what they told us that they're internally they're not joined that much.
Yeah, like,
it's kind of like skin and like a minor. Like
the dicks,
like
the dicks and butts.
Yeah. It's kind of like so.
I
guess
there's a lot in there.
No, I know, but they're saying that basically they've got all that separate except for like a piece of
their urinary tract.
Yeah.
It's like their pee holes and their buttholes are quite literally
pee holes. I would say they probably have one pee hole.
They do have one pee hole. Yeah, that's what it said. Like
you're so
one
confident
exit.
After watching such. I mean, I just paid attention.
Yeah, he saw it.
I paid attention. I pay attention.
Well, if you pay attention, then maybe you would enjoy this audiobook.
A man playing a tuba with another man inside. A man with a broken bass drum. A man dropping his trumpet. A woman in a yellow tank top. A woman in a green collared shirt. Waldo. A man in a white collared shirt. A woman in a red shirt. And
that is the Waldo audiobook.
Dude, so... Does the narrator give it away?
Yeah.
He said Waldo.
That's bullshit.
A man with a red trumpet.
How annoying would it be
Waldo
to actually narrate that?
Oh, dude, the worst.
Like just like having
someone had to have written it out for him.
Right, for sure. But would have had to wrote that down, decided how to describe.
And Waldo's
each
big,
person.
Dude. Like some Waldos are huge.
Like, do you mean like the books?
No,
like
no, no. Scene I mean like the huge. Scene is massive. Like there's so many people in a Waldo picture.
I mean, yeah, they're intentionally confusing.
Man, what is it? What is that feeling that you get inside when you think of like looking at a Waldo book or looking at like an I Spy?
Nostalgia.
I get
fun.
Nostalgia.
I mean, it is nostalgia. It is nostalgia inducing. But I feel like there's something.
Highlights? Was that one?
I don't it's nostalgic to think. About it, think back about it, but even like looking at it and that excitement of like trying to find the thing,
dude.
What is that?
The I Spy books, like, can you imagine being the photographer for that?
Guys, do you guys know how universal, at least in North America, Scholastic book fairs were?
Oh my god, dude,
it's crazy.
They were universal.
I've never bought so many erasers in my life.
Like, dude, like you see some like U.S. based like nostalgia memes about school, and you're like, oh fuck, I had that too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
That's like our Zuka memes.
Do you Do you think there's still, do you guys think there's still Scholastic book fairs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Hudson just went to one the other day.
Oh, really?
Dude, I want to go.
Here's a fun thing. Check this out. Tattoos that have been put over scars to make the scars cooler.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you've got scar cover-up tattoos.
Some of these were incredible.
If you're not watching, or if you're not watching and you're just listening, we're looking at it looks like a big old chunk of a heel taken out. And this person has a turtle tattooed over the scar of the heel.
The scar looks like a turtle shell, and the tattoo is a turtle.
You look at this one. It's a spool and thread of needle that wraps around just like a scar. It looks really cool.
It is sewing.
Yeah.
The scar, the cut back together.
Right. Yeah. This one's one of the best. You have Darth Vader over a scar that makes the scar look like his red lightsaber.
That's really cool.
This one's fucking wild.
Whoa.
It looks like a open heart surgery scar. So down the sternum of the gentleman, and you have a scalpel with a set of in gloves with another set of gloves holding the other side of the chest. So it looks like a doctor's slicing open his chest. This one here, you have a scar on the back of the neck, which has like the classic kind of like scarring of like you can see the lines that go up, and it's a zipper on the bottom. So it looks like they've zipped up their neck. This one's your like classic. We talked to Karen, who does breast tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful floral pattern. This one's one of my favorites.
That's
this
really
guy
cool.
Lost his arm, yeah, amputated from the shoulder down, and he just has a nub coming out of his shoulder. And it's a dolphin. The beak of the dolphin is the nub.
That's and it's really cool. it's like the shape of his shoulder and the
That's
shape of
hurt,
the nub
dude.
Is
Fuck, that tattoo's got
like
hurt.
Perfectly. It
looks so much like a dolphin.
It's funny because like if you didn't have the dolphin there, you probably, I mean, the average person's probably not gonna look and go, oh, that looks like a dolphin. But then as soon as you start to, as soon as you put the eye there, it's like, holy fuck, that's all it is. You know, it just looks exactly.
This
like,
one here
like
is
that.
Like a open heart surgery tattoo of a beautiful rose, really nice. You have like a skin burn, and they turn it into a beautiful floral piece. And this one's cool. It's like a crazy gut. Scar, and they put an angel, and the giant like divot that the scar created is like a vase, a pot pouring water.
Wow, yeah,
I'm having trouble seeing that.
I see that now.
if you look at it closer, it's a lot easier to see.
That's very cool.
Cool stuff, eh?
And, guys, it's surprising. It surprised me how well those tattoos not only like cover up or highlight or emphasize, depending on whatever the point was. The scars, but like how cool it can make them look.
Yeah.
Balidan dena hoga.
Sorry, these are all they just Balidan randomly say tattoo. Hoga. I don't know what they are.
And we, you're just playing
sounds for pictures.
Sea spiders can regrow their anuses, scientists discover. This is for what the hell? Sea spiders have taken the scientific community by surprise with their incredible ability to regenerate their rear ends. Who knew sea spiders had such skill? They've been keeping this pretty petty party trick under wraps for far too long.
Why do they need to regrow their anuses so much?
Well,
dude, humans could do well with learning that
trick. We could, yeah. Sea spiders.
If you had a colostomy?
Yep. Yeah,
you
right. Totally
grow your butthole,
but like it sounds like this species is doing something funky with their butts a lot, so that they have evolved to have that trait.
So right. they belong. Sea spiders belong to the species Picognum littoral, which were the subjects of a recent study by a team of scientists. And it was previously thought that sea spiders were not capable of regrowing body parts, as it had never been observed. But sea spiders belong to the Pinacoga class, which are a group of around 1,300 marine arthropods with eight legs, making them distantly related to their terrestrial spider cousins. In the study, scientists amputated various parts of the sea spider's lower bodies, including hind limbs, parts of the gut, reproductive organs, and even their anuses.
That's what I do before I release them. Before I release them, when I find them in my house, before I release them into the harsh winter environment.
Let's take it off its legs.
You know what's so funny is like the way that this is like reported sounds like very professional, but like you could also imagine a researcher just pulling legs off spiders going,
This was ChatGPT'd.
This is my thing.
Being a sea spider, just going about your day, then suddenly losing your butt. How about that? Well, the sea spiders were up for the challenge. The adult sea spiders were unable to regenerate the lost parts and most perished. But the juveniles took the challenge head on and regrew the missing parts in full. The results of the study were published in the journal Evolution and have caused quite a stir in the scientific community. The researchers are now eager to find out what triggers the regeneration in sea spiders and how it compares to other arthropods' regenerative abilities. It could be related to stem cells or undifferentiated cells that can change into other types of cells, but the more research is needed to confirm. This discovery is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to sea creatures and their regenerative abilities. In 2021, photosynthetic sea slugs, say that five times fast, photosynthetic sea slugs, Brian, I feel like you'd struggle with that one.
Photosynthetic sea slugs, photosynthetic sea slugs, photosynthetic sea slugs, photosynthetic sea slugs, photosynthetic sea slugs.
That's okay.
They were found to be able to deliberately chop off their own heads and regrow a new body from the severed heads.
Dude, what the fuck is happening in the ocean?
You know, I don't know if you guys...
They were seen to chop their fucking heads off. And then grow
just
them
grow
back.
Their body at body like fucking neck down.
How it's much a harsh is that environment.
Nightmare fuel.
It is. It's a harsh environment. They had to adopt.
Dude,
adapt.
It is. That's alien, dude. That's right? Alien.
Well, do you guys? I know that you said that you had started or listened to a good chunk of it, but the episode,
Cool Worlds.
The episode with David Kipping on Lex Friedman's podcast.
Yeah.
David Kipping, I heavily suggest. You go check out Cool Worlds on YouTube. It's so fucking cool.
Dude.
So David Kipping does like these really great narrations of these what if this happened? And it's all like space oriented, alien civilization oriented, origins of our planet and our solar system.
If you want some good vocal porn.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
He's an exoplanet astrophysicist
at Columbia University. Anyway, super super interesting. They talk a ton about he gave this like formula that there's a mathematical formula that you could use to extrapolate like how many more generations there's going to be of humans, like hypothetically based on how many humans have been alive now.
Are you talking about the video where he talks about what happens no. 1 billion years from now?
No, this is a piece of the conversation with Lex.
Imagine
Lex
humans and, 1 billion years from right now.
He basically talks about there's this formula that you could do. So he essentially goes, you know, that the formula says there's going to be, according to this formula, you can reasonably expect that there will be 200 more generations of humans. Which doesn't sound like that much, but it's like with the expectation that every humans going forward will have a roughly 100-year lifespan, and that will probably get longer and longer.
Yeah.
That actually extends out like very, very far into the future, like more than 1 million years, barring self-destruction. And the conversation around like what we will achieve in that. Over that time horizon, given what we know now, like when you start to think about, we found out that these sea monkeys are regenerating their buttholes, and like there's these things that can regenerate their whole body from the neck down. It's like if you extrapolate out like 1,000 years from now,
like the weird shit that humans will be able
it's
to
like,
do.
Yeah, like they you'll just. You know, you'll get in a pod in the morning and like all your cancer cells will, like any cancer cell in your body will be destroyed. And you know, like everything, you'll just get like a daily
perfection
update.
This is what he sounds like.
For life, the Immenstar was, but it was a lean system. The paucity of metals in the cosmos meant that giant planets.
Turn that off. I'm getting a boner,
formed.
Dude.
No,
fuck,
dude.
Fuck me, dude.
You know what's interesting
imagine a world
is that so like the technological innovations are really interesting to think about. One thought I had when I was watching a recent Cool Worlds video. It sounds really funny to say
Cool Worlds
video. But I was thinking about this because he was talking about evolution and like how like every 30,000 years or whatever there seems to be like a visible
Like a significant shift.
Shift in, I think that's in like, the species.
That's like the timeline for, that's a basic timeline for like a major evolutionary shift.
Like a significant change to happen.
Shift.
And I was thinking about this because or the fact that our civilization is so concerned about what we look like and like yeah. how the media sort of dictates what is attractive. I wonder if that will slow our evolution because we are sort of perpetually putting out the same idea of what's attractive. So like if you look back, you know, 100 or 200 or 500 years, the idea of what was attractive was different. But now that the media is so like media exists on our phones and online and TV, and there's this like more global idea of like what
beauty
is
standards?
Attractive in human yeah. beauty standards.
Dude, I mean, do you think Neanderthals looked at each other and were like, ugh, ugh.
Wait, but
the way your eyebrows cover, like come out, oh, like the way your eyes are so sunken in and how fat your nose is. I'm just so horny.
But the point that I was making is, and to be more clear about it, is that evolution basically comes from a group of that animal thinking that a certain trait is beneficial to have yeah. and then fucking that person right. and recreating that trait. So if the idea of what we think is attractive is just always is perpetuated and not, and changes less slowly because of the media's sort of like consistent narrative of
do you
what
think we'll
beauty
ever,
standards
do you think
are.
We'll ever look
does it
like,
slow evolution?
Yeah, do you think we'll ever look, you know, the aliens
or do you think it's the opposite?
Like the Mars Attacks aliens?
You I'm know, having like a hard time like, wrapping my head around like, exactly what you're trying to get at.
Because there's never been a point in time where there's been a global shared idea of beauty standards. So now that there's a global shared idea of beauty standards, do you think that changes more quickly because of communication and therefore we think things are attractive, therefore we fuck different things and then we repopulate and evolve more? Or do we just stick to the same set of beauty yeah. standards and then not
I mean,
evolve.
I think it's probably.
I mean, I don't know how much beauty standards really so, play into evolution, but like, yeah. like when you think about the Mars Attacks alien, you know, how like it's the like head in the jar with the brain on the top.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Those guys.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a good example that I think makes this point a little bit more clear. So let's say
Hurry.
That 1,000 years ago, there's a person with 6 fingers. Which mm-hmm. is a which is not an uncommon mm-hmm. Trait to be a random. I don't know, sure. whatever you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like a mid journey thing.
No. So, it's just that so, it's not common, but it's not like it never happens.
So someone's born with 6 fingers, yeah. and it's, let's say in their community or like group of people that they're living amongst, people are like, "Holy fuck, that's amazing! 6 fingers, holy shit!" And then there's another person with 6 fingers that are born, and then these people are like revered by right. their community,
like the hot dog, like and, the hot dog finger species, and everything everywhere all at once.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those two mate, and then they make another 6 fingered person, and then that right. 6 fingered person becomes desirable. Then that more of that 6 fingered person is made, but according to beauty standards now, which are now more globally yeah. shared, the 6-fingered person is likely going to be seen as not the standard norm and then not fucked and then not more 6-fingered people made. Do you think that our global shared idea of what is beautiful prevents evolution in the long term, or do you think it creates a way to expedite evolution?
I think it's hard to say because up until very recently, probably up until the last like 100 years yeah. or so, evolution has almost probably always taken on a mostly like physical or like intelligence oriented track and not necessarily psychological. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally,
I know that intelligence is psychological, but intelligence is more like intelligence in terms of like the way that you navigate the physical world with your intelligence versus like a way that you think. Whereas I feel like beauty standard up until now, it's been very physical, but now our brains are getting bigger and our bodies are getting smaller, even just in the last 100 years, because we are less physically reliant on survival, like physically mm-hmm. to physically survive. And so maybe I think you could posit that we could be at a tipping point in human evolution potentially over the next hundreds or thousands of years, that we will now take this direction where it'll be less physical changes, less physically driven evolution, and more psychological driven evolution, which I think then would go to your point. But if it continues to be what it's been in the past, I don't think that would play into it very much.
Right.
Mm.
I tend to agree with that too. I definitely think it'll lean towards intelligence probably over muscle.
Man, isn't it crazy to think about what we might look like in 20,000 years?
Yeah, we'll look like the Greys.
Or, and this was something else that that I think David Kipping said in a video, which was like, well, we have been like, think about humans killed off Neanderthals. So like,
and fucked some of them.
And yeah, exactly. And it was like something like 2% of Europeans have Neanderthal DNA, which means that it's not nothing. Like some people have
DNA.
Ew.
But it's not that much.
Ew.
And like, think about like, what is the species that could, or are we too dominant in the world for another species to come and compete with us?
Did you see that video of the evolution of humans that was produced by AI?
I saw the art, the fast forward art thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that's it, dude. We're just going to become robots.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe.
And at that point.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. That's it for this week. If you want to chime in, if you want to be a part of the episode discussion, if you want to add to this podcast and be a producer, go to our Discord. Our Discord link is in the show notes of every episode, so you can click that link and come on over and have a chat. And if you want to support the podcast further, leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you listen on Spotify, leave a review on the Spotify mobile app.
And if you would like to file a complaint against the soundboard that was used today, you can do that over on our don't you shut me down. You can do that over on our Instagram, at Sick Boy Podcast. DM us. Slippity slide right in there. And if you want to be a guest on the show, go to sickboypodcast.com, and there's a button there. It's super fucking obvious. If you can't see it, then... I don't know what to tell you.
Do we say anything about Discord?
Because, sure did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I wasn't really listening.
Because of the soundboard. It turned you
That's
off.
Right. That's right.
Diabetes.
Huge thank you to Jeff Lonis, our manager, and to Rich O'Coin for the theme music on this episode. Rich was just nominated for a Juno.
Yo, and he dropped a new track today, and it's a fucking... It is a fucking banger. Yeah, let's play out to this. Let's play out this week's episode to Rich's new track. It is, I mean, you want to talk about some like fucking futuristic jams produced by AI. This is the shit right here.
I love Rich. Wait, wasn't.
Did he use AI? No, he used an old school synth.
He didn't. Yeah. This is like.
This is what you imagine AI music sounds like.
Yeah. That's it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jerry, and this is Sick Boy.
This should be the new theme song.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.